What kind of wood is this?
Tiger maple.
Tiger maple.
Mm-hmm. You know where you find tiger maple?
Oh, where is that?
Here we go.
Tiger Woods.
Oh.
It's very common around golf courses.
Oh, okay.
I miss the banter. Are we still going to have banter?
What are we missing? We're bantering right now. Isn't everything recording?
Oh, this is the pre-show, right? For the audio stuff. We just load the pre-show.
This is, right? Yeah. Maybe. I always enjoy the first like 20 seconds of the audio podcast where I get to take snippets of the conversation leading up to the show and put it in.
Do you actually do that?
Do you listen to the audio podcast?
No, I've never listened to my podcast.
You should. The beginnings are like the highlight.
Oh,
it's
no.
It's downhill from there. It's the hook. You gotta grab them.
As long as they listen for what's the engagement rate for the views to count? Like 30 seconds they have to listen?
Yeah. As long as they hit that, yeah.
Yeah. And our commercials.
And the commercials.
Skip around.
We love our sponsors.
Yeah. Commercials are better than the content. Bread's better than the meat.
Bread's better than the meat.
Oh, you better be keeping that in.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
Well, for those of you joining us on the audio podcast, we started a long time ago, and we're happy that you're here with us. But we are just starting back up with Switchcast Season 5. This is Episode 1, and I am your host, Doug Tabbitt, here with Tyler Sanders, my co-host. And Switchcast is the automotive-related podcast that's not just for car people. We actually prefer that you're not car people because then you can't call us out on our inaccuracies.
Yeah, we all saw what happened when we talked about warming up your car in the wintertime. We need to avoid that this year.
No, that was great. I made a lot of money on that video. Anyway, the audio podcast listeners hopefully will not notice much of anything different, maybe a little bit more structured going into season five. We did change things up for the video portion of things to try to make more money to bring everybody a better experience. Hopefully you'll just be along for the ride and it'll be the same old yet new and improved Switchcast for you all. So with that, we're going to start off. It would not be a Switchcast episode if we did not talk about scams and transport brokers and my wife. So we're going to hit all three of those tonight. My wife is not a transport broker.
Whew. Thank goodness. There'd be a conflict of interest or something there. You can't be. Yeah.
If she was, she'd be darn good at it.
Aww.
She would have all the proper documentation. Anyway, we're not going to call this a scam just yet because, let's see, my wife went to law school for a little bit, so she knows just enough to warn me how not to get into trouble. But there are some wonderful but not wonderful things in the news here this week about CPR Classic sales out of Fallbrook, California. So in the news this week, according to NBC7 out of San Diego, Fallbrook company CPR Classic Sales is accused of keeping more than $11 million owed to its customers. Start right off with a bang. So we've covered some automotive scams in the past lately on this show, and this appears to be another one of those, and it is multiple layers deep. We're going to start at the top with what we know that's out there in the news article, and we're going to dig a little bit deeper and see what we uncovered as well. Everything we found is public information, so you can find it too. We're just going to try to summarize and package it up. And of course, everything is alleged other than the stuff that isn't. So
yeah, let's unravel this onion.
Okay. So, we're going to start from most recent and go back into its history a little bit. And the juicy stuff, the farther back we go, the juicier it gets. So the most recent story broke just a few days ago, by NBC San Diego. And, there's multiple lawsuits currently against this Fallbrook company, CPR Classic Sales and CPR Classic Restoration, and its owner, Andrea Nicole Doherty. The lawsuits allege, and some of them have gotten judgments, that they essentially sold cars on consignment and did not pay the customers. And or did restoration jobs or got paid for restoration jobs that were not completed, and or sold the same car multiple times to different customers.
Oh.
Yes. Hmm. We've seen some of these things in the past, so we've dealt with some of these, but this goes deeper. So Hans Claussen is the person who reached out to the news, and he has a pretty sad story. I mean, anyone that gets scammed on the sale of their dream car is a sad story, but this one is particularly moving. The car was a gift from his wife back in 1970, and he hired CPR Classic to sell it for him. They owe him $111,500 as a result of the sale, according to this lawsuit. And he sold it because his wife has dementia and he needs the proceeds to care for her.
Ugh.
So, yeah, they did not give him the money. They said they sold it. And for him to send the title, he signed off and sent the title. And then they said, well, the buyer backed out of the deal. Months and months went on and he never got paid. They didn't find another buyer. And apparently they actually had sold the car and never paid him. So Andrea set up, according to this article, a $10,000 a month payment plan, which is never a good thing from a dealership.
Oh, gosh, no, usually you go to them for a payment plan. Like, come
on. This is true. Like, this is true. And I guess he got one payment and then nothing. So he reached out to the media, which now we're digging into this a little bit. A lot of people have had this issue. When we looked at Renlist and Pelican forums, this spans a couple years back. This started in 2022, that there was rumblings on the internet that things might not be on the up and up, that people weren't getting paid, that people were getting the runaround. So this has been going on for a while, but this is the first time it's come to public light. So we decided to dig into this just a little bit more. There certainly are a lot of current lawsuits pending in court in California, and there's a number of judgments, but let's see what other dirt we can uncover. So first of all, we went and searched the Secretary of State for their business. Doesn't exist. Well, that's weird.
Off to a great start.
It's a government website, right? It's like, well, you didn't capitalize the third letter, you know. Turns out it's a sole proprietorship. It's Andrea Nicole Doherty, DBA, sole proprietor, DBA, CPR Classic Sales and CPR Classic Restoration. And I'm thinking, why would anyone do that? A legitimate business person would want to have a corporate shield and properly file an LLC or a corporation. Like any good CPA or attorney would say, hey, if you have assets to protect, you don't want to be a sole proprietor.
Well, because that means they can go directly to you, right? Because,
yeah.
Ooh, yeah, I wouldn't want that.
Yeah, no, like that's like if you're cutting hair out of your house or something, you know, like that's, you'd be a sole proprietor or a consultant or whatever. But like, man, especially when you're dealing with this big dollar stuff, have a properly filed company.
I think we should also say, too, that CPR Classic, this is out of Fallbrook in California. There is another one.
That is correct.
Correct?
There's CPR Classic East, different company, different owner, not affiliated. We do not want to besmirch their name. Totally different company. They have some back affiliation just in terms of like using the name, but it is not the same company. Yeah. Don't know anything about them. This is CPR Classic in Fallbrook, California. This article is crazy. Some people got fake tracking numbers for checks that were on the way.
Oh, yep. Man.
Oh, this is great. Yeah. Not great. So I looked up their dealer license. Their dealer license has been suspended. No
Sweet.
Surprise. Yep. But I wanted to see how far back all of this stuff goes, right? So CPR Classic claims that they've been in business for over 40 years. Okay.
That's a long time. Okay.
Long time. Yep. How old do you think Andrea Doherty is?
Because you're asking me, it's going to be closer than is comfortable to 40 years.
36.
What? How does it? That math does not math.
That's correct. Well, Let's see what's in the past. Okay, so on their website, Brian Doherty, who is her father, is listed as a director of the company, but she is the sole owner. It's a sole proprietor.
Okay, sure.
The word's right there, sole. There's some other family members that are also listed as employees. Her brother, Dylan Doherty, and her husband is also listed on there. So it's, you know, it's a big family affair there. But we go digging back and back, and we go and find Brian Doherty, and we see what kind of past he might have. Well, our research assistant found a couple of court cases from 2004 and 2007.
Okay.
We're going to look at one first. And I'm going to ask the question, baseball cards have to do with CPR classics?
Doug, downfall? I thought we were talking about cars.
Baseball cards. Airplanes.
At least those have wheels.
Okay. Well, Richard McWilliam is the owner of chief executive officer of Upper Deck, a sports memorabilia and trading card company. He also has a company called Jet Source, or had back in the 2000s, formed in 1997. His business consisted of chartering private aircraft, and this is all from court documents that I'm reading and or summarizing. And there was another company called Mach 1. And this was formed by John Moyes, but John Moyes became a friend with Brian Doherty. And Brian Doherty got involved in this company, Mach 1. So they were renting office space from JetSource and, you know, normal standard business. But then they discussed JetSource's interest in acquiring aircraft for its charter business. So Doherty informed JetSource that Mach 1, Doherty and Moyes' company, did not have the money to fund purchases or even pay the expenses of inspecting these aircraft. Doherty just said, well, I'll act as a broker for acquiring this aircraft and I'll get paid a commission on the purchase and sale of these aircraft. So they did that, and they were to negotiate the lowest possible price, and they used JetSource's funds, right? Other people's money. Way to start.
I almost feel like we need one of those boards that you can tack up photos and red string and really just like, I'm getting lost.
I'm
like,
doing my best here.
The baseball cards are up there somewhere. It's
baseball cards really have nothing to do with this. It was just a, you know, grabby line. Mach 1 negotiated a price of $9.7 million to purchase a Falcon 50. However, Mach 1 represented to JetSource that the price of the aircraft was $10.6 million and, in fact, produced a sales contract which reflected the higher price.
Some additional math does, in fact, not math.
Yep. They did this a few different times, and apparently there's another entity known as Aircraft Dealer Services, which was an entity controlled by Mach 1, which is Moyes and Doherty's company. Yes, we need that.
Okay.
Those pins here, like, right? Yeah. Listen, it kind of all flows back to Doherty. They did a number of transactions like this, continually inflating the stated purchase price so that they could make $500,000 or $1 million right off the bat, essentially biting the hand that fed them. At trial, Doherty conceded that sales contract appeared to have been altered. Yeah, no kidding. So Doherty actually got sued by JetSource for something completely different. And in discovery, they found all these altered sales contracts and missing millions of dollars.
Like, hold on a second. These are a little different.
Right. Pages and pages of this. But the long and short of it is the jury found Moyes and Doherty liable for intentional misrepresentation, negligent misrepresentation, breach of fiduciary duty, breach of contract, and conversion. The jury awarded JetSource $3.7 million in damages for breach of fiduciary duty, $1.2 million for breach of contract, $20.4 million for misuse of JetSource's credit cards. In addition to compensatory damages, the jury awarded JetSource $11.4 million in punitive damages against Doherty, 3.8 million in punitives against Mach 1 and 3.8 million in punitives against their other company, Aircraft Dealer Services, or whatever it was. And 1.5 million in prejudgment interest.
That is so many zeros, Doug.
It's a lot of zeros.
That had to be like, what, like $50 million in there somewhere? It doesn't even matter, know. But my goodness.
Somebody on the internet can add it up. However, tens of millions. So, you get a judgment against you, right? Legally, I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding of the legal system, they can use kind of whatever means necessary to recover these funds. Personal assets, maybe, unless you have properly registered LLC and protected your yeah. personal assets, depends on state laws. They can garnish wages. They could take income from other companies you might have. Again, it's state by state, depends on the laws and stuff, but they have their ways of getting income.
But in this situation, it does not seem like there's any ownership of any company going on.
Well, certainly not CPR Classic. That seems to be a sole proprietor owned by his daughter. Now, I don't want to allege that there's a connection there, but it is odd that the company that he's named as a director of and has been since before she was alive, that she's the owner of.
Seems convenient.
Yeah, coincidental, there's, maybe.
Yeah.
Now, I can't allege intent. However, in 2009, in the United States Bankruptcy Court, Southern District of California, I found this. Let's see. JetSource Charter has a judgment claim against Brian J. Doherty. Yep. Plaintiff commenced the above-referenced adversary proceedings seeking, among other things, to set aside various transfers from debtor to his wife, Victoria L. Doherty.
Another name.
Yes. So basically,
photo on the board.
It says in this claim that Brian transferred assets into his wife's name in order to, like, fraudulently, in order to hide the assets so that they could not be part of the judgment.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, including their residence from community property to separate property. A cashier's check for $32,000, other money transferred into bank accounts, and the alleged concealment of debtor's interest in the business and commercial property known as Main Street Auto Body in Fallbrook, California. Oh, gee. That might be a connection. An auto body shop, a restoration shop. Could be. Could be.
In the same area, in the same sphere.
But, you know, there's a pattern here, an apparent pattern, according to these court documents, of trying to hide assets from a judgment and also stealing money from people.
You know, when you started, we were all talking, it was a similar tune to what we've talked about before with potentially other, you know, alleged actions by other companies and other bad situations. But this has gone so much deeper, much more intense.
Yeah. So who knows how far back this goes? Who knows what role Andrea has in all of this? If she's blissfully ignorant, her name is just on the title and her dad's pulling all the strings. Who knows? You know, we're just setting out there what we found, what our research assistant has found. And y'all can make the connections if you want.
And I think it's interesting, too, that this shows, you know, by the time this gets up to the public eye, into the news, this has been happening for a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you hear rumblings, you know, I've been seeing on different forums I go to popping up like, oh, hey, watch out for, you know, be careful.
By the time you hear it, it's too late.
Too late.
Yep. Your money's gone. Yeah. I will say this, and I don't want to make too much of a connection here, but we've been talking about Carvana a lot. Publicly traded company, whatever. All their financials are out there. But I thought there was an interesting connection here, right? With a father who is essentially has some financial dubious transactions and is then separate from the kid's company. Before I do that,
oh, you're going to check their stock? I haven't checked their stock price since season four.
I have to go back a little bit. In the CPR Classic East e-letter, which I found, and again, Classic East is a different company, but they were writing about the history of Brian and Dylan Doherty and their connection to the company. And at the top of the CPR Classic East e-letter, I believe they're talking about their letter itself. They're poking fun at themselves. It says, often copied, never duplicated, always late. That has not aged well.
I mean, no, I don't.
I feel like that could be describing CPR Classic West's payments to their vendors and or customers.
Maybe. Somebody could make a joke.
Yeah, I did make a
connection.
A joke. Anyway, so back to Carvana. Their stock has been up. Their stock has been down. It's back up again. Ugh. Against my guess. But anyway, Forbes did an article when their stock was tanking. And they were talking about the founder of it, Ernest Garcia III, the younger one, obviously. He's the third and not the first. And his fortune soared to over $11 billion at Carvana's peak. And then he did not sell, so it went down to like a couple hundred million dollars. His dad, though, Ernest Garcia II, sold $2.5 billion of Carvana stock in a nine-month period when it was up. It wasn't at his peak, but his last stock sale did come at its peak, $350 a share, and then it went to $4. So Garcia II, the father, is worth an estimated $2.8 billion as a result of dumping his shares at the proper time, according to Forbes.com. Now, Garcia II, the dad, holds no formal position at Carvana because, quote, he pled guilty to bank fraud in 1990 and is legally barred from employment at any New York Stock Exchange listed company. Yet he, along with his son, has maintained effective control of Carvana since bankrolling the company in 2013.
Hmm. Interesting. I love how you've done some really interesting things to be banned from holding, like owning a company on the stock exchange. That's nuts.
Just interesting similarities.
Yeah.
Interesting parallels. Similarities. Yeah.
A different board with different
connections
string.
Could be made there. Anyway, speaking of scams, we love our little Scaminator segment every week, which is where we find minor scams online. Somebody that's trying to scam you out of a car, or, you know, do a bad listing or whatever it might be, and they're easy to spot. Well, this one is the reverse. This one was somebody thought my wife was scamming them. This is not car related, other than the fact that my wife owns a car, so I guess it is.
Yeah, there's your, she drives sometimes. Perfect.
So she's on Facebook Marketplace trying to buy a piece of art for our for our bedroom, $40. She's real frugal. She shops at Goodwill and Aldi.
Reasonable.
And she had wanted this piece of art. She had missed another one online, and she found this one, and she messages the lady. She's like, I've got cash. I'll come pick it up today. Where are you located? And the lady...
Seems reasonable.
Yeah, sure. And the lady was in Chesterland. It's like half an hour from us. And the lady responds, oh, this is going to be fun. This sounds like a scam.
I would like to buy the thing that you have for sale with cash money that you would prefer. How does that sound like a scam?
I mean, I get it, right? Because scammers are overly eager. They're like, I will buy your item. What is your last price? Okay, I'll give you more money and then you ship it to me. But like, she's like, no, I'm trying to come pick it up with cash. Like, give me your dang address. I'll be at your porch.
Yeah. Okay.
And she got called out for trying to scam her. So she responded like, oh, how is this a scam exactly? Like, here's who I am. Here's a picture of me, whatever. I don't know what she did, but I wanted to troll the lady in so many other ways. But after a couple days, the lady finally was like, okay, well, yeah, I guess you're not a scam. You can buy it, but I've done my homework and I listed this item way too cheap. So it's now $150. Do you still want it?
No, thanks. I'm good. Man.
Yep.
Nuts for Sticks is a brand celebrating the manual transmission in all its forms. So forget those flappy paddles because we like shifting ourselves. Check out our fun and funny stick-themed shirts at nutsforsticks.com and save 10% on your order using the discount code SWITCHCAST. That's nutsforsticks.com and use code SWITCHCAST.
We have talked many times about transport brokers and the woes of the transport industry on this show. And I'm not going to give you a whole summary of what we've talked about. I'm just going to give you some more current examples of why the transport industry is terrible. Just this week, we had a fairly minor experience, but a customer didn't want to wait to get their car back. And in all fairness, our trusted shipper had delayed more than once. That happens. The worst that good transporters can do typically is be late. Bad transporters go to the port with your car instead of to the destination or to a chop shop. That's happening all the time now. But anyway, they hired their own transporter off of Central Dispatch, and no surprise, the car showed up damaged. Ooh. Now, Central Dispatch is a clearinghouse for transporters, dealers, brokers. It is not public facing. It is only where people in the industry can post loads and find loads. And it's not great, the selection on there. It's slim pickings. It's like 65-year-olds on a dating website, you know. It's yikes. So he posted up on there. Car gets there, car gets damaged. He calls me, sends me pictures. He's like, dude, what happened? I was like, well, wasn't like that when the car left. And he's like, well, the trucker said it was. He's trying to get me to sign the bill of lading and leave. And I was like,
classic.
Yeah. Stand by. Let me send you photos. So we sent him photos that the trucker took as part of his inspection report at pickup that showed that it wasn't damaged, and sent them to the delivery end. And we're like, these are his photos from his inspection report. He's lying through his teeth. He's like, yeah, I figured he was. But, and the funny thing is, when he had even said, I'm going to get it picked up via Central Dispatch, I warned him. I'm like, oh, okay. So do you want the car back with the same clutch that it left with? Or so anyway, but what I want to highlight from that is one of the biggest major problems in the transport industry. When the trucker showed up, I shouldn't say when the company, because you'll understand why. When the trucker showed up to pick up the car, our guys at the shop said, hey, what's your company name? Because we always verify if we don't book the transport, if somebody else books the transport, we say, hey, who'd you book? What's the company name? Verify that and send it and get the clearance from the customer to release the car to that trucker. The trucker's answer was delayed. He couldn't remember.
Look, we all get a little forgetful sometimes. I understand. But that's a little questionable.
Well, as he pulled in, he had one company name on his truck.
Oh.
And then he went into his binder or whatever and pulled out a different sticker to put on the side of his truck.
Oh.
And swapped the names.
Did he have it like written on the inside of his arm? He had to look down real quick. And be like, got a little smudged at the last rest stop.
You joke. But there's an insider tip here. This is how these companies work, and this is one of the major issues, fundamental issues with the transport industry. So these truckers, and you'll be able to spot them on the highway. It's very easy. Typically, they have holes in their trailer, but also they're driving just like an F-250 or something like that, and they will have a company name that was printed out at Kinko's and taped on to the window.
It's flapping a little bit because the tape's
possibly
come, you know,
yeah,
loose.
They bought the cheap tape. Sometimes it's written in Sharpie. So what happens is people are trying their best to avoid shady truckers, ones that don't have proper insurance, that screw them over, whatever. But they're not going far enough. So these brokers will go on Central Dispatch or even the parent companies, and they'll call on a load, but their company might be blocked or might have terrible feedback, so they'll call from a different company. So they'll have a list of 20, 30 companies that they operate under or book loads for, subcontract for, and they'll call. And like when we put a load on central dispatch, which is rarely because it's just, it's because of all this. I mean, the phone will just start ringing nonstop, 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 over and over again, often from the same number, but always from the same region. It's always Chicago, almost always. And they'll just call from different companies. And then they'll sub it out to a driver. I don't want to say a truck driver, a guy with a truck and a trailer who is not employed by that company, may or may not have a CDL, is definitely not listed on their insurance, but he's got a binder full of different companies and like their insurance cards and their MC and DOT numbers. And it's like, okay, what company am I picking up under today for this load? Oof. Stick it on there. For all we know, he might have three different cars in the trailer that are booked under three different companies. So you imagine what happens when something goes wrong. It's an absolute insurance nightmare. And when I did this video criticizing a janky trucker that came to pick up one of our cars, I got all sorts of flack for it. Like, oh, don't judge a book by its cover. And I'm like, no, I can. Like, this is the crap that we're dealing with. And, you know, it might go okay most of the time for them. But the problem is what happens when it doesn't go okay. So we've got companies using not fully licensed drivers. And because of the type of truck and trailer they're driving, they can avoid the DOT inspections and the weigh stations. So they're going heavily unregulated.
Well, yeah, I guess if you're just driving an F-250 with like an enclosed trailer on the back, you don't need to stop, do you? Because anybody can do that.
You should if you're DOT licensed.
Oh.
But if you take your sticker off, yeah.
Who's going to know?
Just it's the weigh station.
Personal transport. They're probably not going to come get you.
They might, but yeah, ooh, good odds that they won't. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. That's the guys that are just operating in a somewhat shady manner. There's a whole rash of hotshot carriers, the two-car transporters. There's like essentially a theft ring of transporters that are stealing cars. That's the bigger problem. But we're just talking about the semi-legitimate ones who are damaging cars and not taking responsibility. And this is one of the dark underbellies of the transport world, and that's how they're doing it. So you have to be so, so careful when you're booking transport. And speaking of that, somebody texted me today and said, hey, have you heard of this transport company? Because somebody is using it, a good client of theirs is using it to send all of their high-end cars down to the Chattanooga Motor Festival. So good cars, it's going to show, so they have to be on time, which not going to happen. So he sends me over this website, EclipseAutoTransport.com. And, you know, very nice photos of fancy trucks and great descriptions, but they appear to quite obviously be stock photos.
Oh, I do always wonder if you like reverse image search this beautiful photo of this car carrier that looks like a Peterbilt or something that's blue with red flames and all these lights carrying some Mercedes. Like, how many times are you going to find that? Where's it actually from? You know,
right.
Is there like an iStock or something watermark that's been smudged out?
Well, one of these, they didn't even, it says TKO Motorsports. It's somebody else's truck and trailer. Right. But they've got these fancy descriptions, sort of. I mean, it's a one page website that was powered by GoDaddy. So it just, they fired it up. Opener and closed shipping available across the state or across the globe. We've moved cars for players of the NBA, MLB, and NFL, as well as projects ranging from priceless collections to project cars. We can and have moved everything from farm tractors to Batmobiles. We don't, however, just move vehicles. We also move heavy equipment, boats of all sizes, or whatever your company may need moved, and we can move it anywhere in the world. Whether you need to get a car to Bahrain or a motorcycle to Australia or a farm tractor to Finland, we can handle that for you with ease.
You know, they say a jack of all trades is a master of none. I don't know if I want somebody carrying my nice Porsche or maybe a glorious 98 Corvette pace car if they can also, you know, ship a box like UPS to Australia.
That's They're not weird. Good at spelling. They spell their own company name wrong on the site. Why Ooh. You should choose Eclipse Auto Transport. Now, disclaimer here. I will get to the punchline of this company, but disclaimer, I'm not here to knock the company. They do have good ratings where I looked them up. they do have a bond, a surety bond, not insurance. We talked about that a little bit earlier in this, in the previous segment. And they seem to be a half decent broker, but that's what they are, a broker. They have a fancy website. They are using, it appears to be, they're using other people's photos. And, you know, they're just, they look very fancy, but aren't. And the reason I know they're not, and we'll have Ethan put this up on the screen for people on the video, is I Googled their address in Scottstown, Indiana, or whatever it was. And it came up, Scottsburg, Indiana. It came up a field with this like little farm shack as their company headquarters.
Doug, I just think that these guys are so efficient, running such a tight ship, that all their money has gone into the trucks that are carrying their valuable vehicles. They don't have time for an office space. Oh,
they should at least have like a yard. There should be some trucks somewhere nearby in this street view. Their other address, though, comes up as an apartment, which is fairly common. You know, that's where their dispatcher operates out of, is the apartment. So anyway, again, they're just a broker. This is not to knock them as a company. They're not an illegitimate company. It's just, this is the typical thing with brokers, is they make themselves out to be this global big conglomerate that can do anything for you. And they're some person in an apartment or in a farm barn that is just posting on central dispatch, going out to the lowest bidder. And if things go wrong, you're SOL. It's the generalities. Again, not saying anything specific about that company, but that's the auto transport world for you.
There's got to be so much money or so much meat left on the bone if there can be so many layers of this onion of auto transport. You know, in a truly bad situation, so we're not talking about Eclipse anymore, but I'm talking in like a real layered up situation. You got this guy calling this guy who's going to that guy who's then finally getting the guy at the truck. Does the guy with the truck get like $5 at the end of this?
They don't get paid much. Oof. They really don't, which is why their equipment is under maintained and they are underinsured, is because it really is not worth it. Yeah. If you have one claim in this business as one of these smaller companies, you're done. And that's what happens, is they just file bankruptcy and start a new one because it's just not worth it. Now, with that, let's go to the Shrewd Negotiator, one of our favorite segments where people just are trying so hard to get the best deal or to sell their wares that they make a fool out of themselves often, and we have fun at their expense. So, Tyler, what do we got?
So I found this one while, you know, searching for some GT3s, as I like to dream most days. So this comes to us from the Pelican Parts Forum. Rare opportunity, it says in bold text. 2002 Porsche 911 Turbo X50, the ultimate driving machine.
This isn't for sale by CPR Classic Sales, is it?
No, I don't believe so.
Good. So it probably comes with a title.
I would hope so. It sure comes with a lot of description. I'm not going to read you all this. It's really intense. But this is the heart of a champion, a true collector's dream. Imagine yourself, Doug, behind the wheel of a meticulously...
Wait a minute. Yes. Wait a minute. Did he just describe the universally hated headlight 996 as a collector's dream?
100%.
Okay. Keep going.
Imagine yourself behind the wheel of a meticulously maintained, low-mileage 2002 Porsche 911 Turbo with the coveted X50 performance package. This isn't just any 911, Doug. It is a piece of automotive history, a testament to German engineering at its finest, and it could be yours.
Is it automotive history just because it's in the past, or is there something significant about...
Let me tell you about the car. Well, other than the X50 performance package, basalt black metallic exterior, timeless elegance that turns heads. Boxster red leather interior.
Oh, good. It's not graphite gray.
Whoa, now hold on a second. I don't know if we need to besmirch graphite gray.
Listen, Boxster red's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
It is a stunning contrast that exudes luxury. It's got sports seats. It's got carbon fiber accents.
Ooh, Ethan, do we have a sound effect yet for hardcore eye roll?
We should.
We need the people listening on the audio to know how far back my eyes are in my head after some of this overly verbose.
It is
descriptiveness.
It's really hard to try to pare this down, but there's a couple more important things I want to hit in here. Rare features that set this 911 apart. Renkit ERAM spoiler conversion, reliable and smooth operation. GT2 style front bumper, aggressive looks without compromising integrity. And ooh, my favorite part. Tiptronic S transmission.
Wait, what? What? Hold on.
Tiptronic.
You just buried the lead there.
I did.
You sent this to me earlier, and I didn't even make it that far.
Effortless Tiptronic? Daily driving with blistering.
He even called it the Tiptronic S.
Yes, 100%. There is lots of repetition. There's so many more words.
It's not rare. It's more rare. It's not. It's a good thing that that transmission is part of Porsche history, for sure.
So it has listed as under 55,000 miles. Where?
That's not that
I
low.
Don't know. Somewhere under 55,000.
54,900.
Probably. How much do you think that they want for this automotive excellence?
I don't know. Probably 75 grand.
$87,500.
That's stupid. That's good.
It's insane.
Stick shift turbo X50 lower mileage money. I've had a couple that I couldn't sell for. That's stupid. That's stupid.
And the front bumper looks like it's a slightly different color. Like his basalt black.
Well,
for those of you that
probably got
don't.
It for. It's like a fiberglass one from M.A. Shaw or something like that.
Probably.
And it fits decently. And yeah.
Well, in basalt black, for those of you that don't know, is like a metallic, and it's always hard to match metallics, and they did not do a great job.
Jeez.
So yeah.
If it's a collector's dream, he's going to be a collector of that car for quite a while. That's he's not going to wake up from that dream.
There are no comments yet. It's been listed for a couple of days. Shocking.
I think we need to post the link up so people can go troll him.
I'll make sure producer Ethan gets the linky link for this and can put some photos up.
Beautiful. This episode is brought to you by Sheffield All Sport Watches. The Sheffield brand was recently revived by Jay Turkbus, an owner of an original Sheffield All Sport diver he received from his parents in 1970 when he was just 11, beginning his love of watches. As an adult, Jay used his extensive expertise in product development and marketing to revive the brand that started it all. He set out to develop watches with a high level of quality and specification at a value price. His first effort, and a successful one in July of 2023, was the debut of the Sheffield All Sport Diver 1. It had the kind of build and movement that much more expensive watches use, and his debut price of $108 was equivalent to the $13 his parents paid back in 1970. Since that debut, Sheffield has expanded to a wider range of automatics and chronos, many designed around vintage Sheffield dials of the 60s. The Sheffield well of clever and unique design remains his inspiration, as well as maintaining the goal of high quality, very affordable range of automatic and quartz watches. Sheffield watches, value on merit, not just price. I love mine. Get yours at SheffieldWatches.com and mention that you heard about them on Switchcast. Well, Tyler.
Yes, Doug.
You wouldn't know this yet. Maybe you would. But I feel like I've proved a general principle, or maybe I just suck at it. But I feel like car guys should not buy cars for their wives or spouses or significant others.
I will say my significant other is looking for a car and she wants my help, which I'm happy to provide. But I've learned that there's certain things that I'm like, nah, it doesn't matter. This isn't
you,
for
you
me.
You probably shouldn't. There's the internet.
Yeah.
She can learn anything she needs.
I've given some general, here's what I maybe would recommend from manufacturer, maybe reliability. I'll help you figure out how the money works and all that, but get what you want.
Yeah. Well, I am... 1 for 3 in terms of succeeding at buying a proper car for my wife since we've been married. And, you know, listen, I do this for a living. I am a professional. I should be better at this. But there is a lesson. This is not just an anecdote. There are principles that we can learn, I think, from this. So when we got married, she had a Toyota Corolla. Great car. She loved it.
Very practical.
Been in, like, very practical. Been in like two accidents, ran like a top, other than the transmission, which she said was going out or slipping, which is why she called me, because she needed a car guy's opinion. I think that was just an excuse for me to take her to lunch. Yeah. Anyway, it was all
this guy's got game
from there. Yeah. Yeah. So anyways, I'm like, we need to get you a proper car. So I sold that and then didn't get her a car for like 2 months. And I just let her drive a dealer car that had old bald tires on it. And she drove to Pennsylvania in a snowstorm and she was like ready to murder me. So can we say that on the, is
she was ready to unalive me.
She was ready to harm me. Anyway,
she was slightly upset, a little perturbed.
Right. Yes. Not in actuality. I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
We're fine.
Yes. We have a great marriage. Anyway, we digress quite a bit here.
It's the point.
So I was like, all right, I got to find her a car. Now I had done a bunch of research and I had settled upon the W212 Mercedes chassis. I'm like, these are the greatest.
Nice.
Right?
Yes.
Good engine, good transmission, great interior, good features. So I followed all the rules, right? I went to like south of the salt line. We even went to Virginia and looked at a car, and it had been all in salt. And I'm like, gosh darn it. So we went farther south. We went to North Carolina.
Okay.
Bought her a 2014, so it's not a first model year. It had the newer engine, yada, yada. And it was a two-owner car. Good, right?
Good,
low owners.
Yes.
It had like 40-some thousand miles. It was a previous CPO, certified pre-owned. It had been dealer serviced. All the check boxes. It came with WeatherTech mats already.
Oh, yeah.
Like
in like the real ones, too, so you know they spent the money.
Yeah,
on it.
Okay. Service records, the whole deal.
Perfect right? car. And it's running great right now, right? It's perfect.
No, we sold it.
Okay.
So back this up. This was the second attempt, right? Mm-hmm. The first car I bought her, because I wanted to buy her a convertible, I gave her some input. I let her go online and I like went through like 90s and 2000s convertibles because I wanted her to have a cool car that we could take to Radwood or whatever. And so I went through all the different convertibles and had her like pick out the body style she liked. That was the extent of the choice that I let her have. I'm real, you know, real chivalrous guy, you know, as you will choose only this amount because it's my money. And she picked the BMW 3 Series. So I'm like, sweet. I'll get
She's
her
got
an
taste.
E36 M3.
Heck yeah.
Because I'm not going to get her an E46 because she wanted an automatic. And the E46 has the SMG. So I'm going to buy her like a proper automatic that doesn't suck as badly as a fake manual automatic. And it was a disaster. Same thing. Southern car. Good color combination. I bought it from an engineer who was very meticulous.
Yeah, that's another
supposedly.
Thing.
And it just needed tires and it needed a top, which he had gotten a quote for like $700 from the BMW dealer. So I bought it for like $8,500.
Sounds cheap for a top, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Oh. That was not an accurate quote.
I see.
So needless to say, after a lot of service, as much as she did enjoy the car, the head gasket went out.
Oh, okay.
The shop that serviced it was like, I think this oil is original in the car, as are the spark plugs. Like the dude never serviced it. Although he did, this is great. He did accidentally shoot his firearm off in the passenger seat in the parking lot at work. He did disclose that. There was like this little tiny hole repaired in the like trim piece. That he was trying to put it in the glove box and
it just went off.
Probably the same engineer that's working on Boeing airplanes, you know. Anyway, so head gaskets like $3,500 to do all that stuff. I spent a bunch on tires. I tried to get the top adjusted. It still like was like it would go halfway and then it wouldn't clear, so you had to adjust it. I'm like, no problem. I'll buy a Robbins top. I know all this stuff. Where to get them? I'm in the car business. I can do this. Well, it turns out with those 3 Series, it's if you do the top, you also have to do the cables and like everything else related. Because if you just do the top, then of course, you know, it's not stretched properly and it'll break the cables and just... So it was like $4,500.
Whoa.
So essentially it totaled the car.
Oh.
So I tried to sell it, and I finally ended up selling it for like $7,500 to this guy who traded in a base 3 Series convertible that looked like he lived in it and he was a hoarder at the same time.
Oh, no.
And he was like so excited. He thought our car was going to be super rusty because of how cheap it was. And he showed up. He's like, oh, my gosh, this is really clean. I'm amazed. I was like, I felt so terribly. I'm like, I'm a professional car buyer and seller. I bought my wife a lemon. I think we were in at $15,000. I turned $15,000 into $7,000. And I sold it to a homeless guy who's going to use this. Like, when you look up his address, it's going to be, you know, 328 BMW Lane.
But
next door neighbor is going to be a houseboat.
Well, and this is about buying your spouse cars, but I would also like to say that you have so far hit so many positive checkboxes on what you want when you are buying a car. Oh my God, an engineer owned it. He must have maintained the crap out of this. Look at all these service records. It was from the salt line.
CPO.
It's no always rust, a risk.
Low owners, low mileage. It doesn't mean jack squat. We've covered that over and over on the podcast. Doesn't mean jack squat. So anyway, so this E350 that I bought for her, low miles, great, right? Yeah, no. Had to replace the brakes almost immediately. And it had a hard downshift into fourth right from when we got it, which we have two other E350s, actually. Don't ask why. And neither of those have that issue. The dealer said they couldn't replicate it. And I'm like, drive the darn thing. Well, we can't exceed the speed limit. I'm like, go on the highway. So anyway, they couldn't replicate it, said it wasn't an issue, did a software update, and then it started doing this like chugging thing. And we sent it to like 3 or 4 different shops, did every single thing on the planet, all the forums. Everyone's basically like, that transmission is a 7G. It's completely indestructible. It's not the transmission. It's this, it's that. Do a fluid drain and fill. Do a relearn, do a software update, do plugs and coils, do whatever. We did every single thing and couldn't solve it. It still just had this weird chugging.
Those parts are all over the car. Like, you literally took the part shotgun to it and just kind of...
Yeah, everything I tell people not to do, throw parts at it. We finally, we replaced the drive shaft because the U-joints connecting the drive shaft were in fact bad. So when it was put up on a lift, there was play in the drive shaft. But you can't just replace the U-joints. It comes all as a unit, thanks modern car manufacturers. So that was $2,100. Didn't fix the problem. Plus, those cars have soft rims. So I think 3 of them were bent currently, and the car was out of alignment, and it was going through tires like crazy. And I'm just like, forget this. I'm like, send it to auction. I'm done. I'm like, Aaron, you can pick your next car.
Has she picked her next car?
Working on that.
Okay.
So she has some very specific criteria. It has to have buttons for the climate control and radio from safety perspective. She can't stand that people are distracted when they're driving, lives in paranoia of being hit by somebody going left of center when they're on their phone or on their screen.
More
in their
bigger
car.
Phone.
Yeah, bigger phone. Yeah. Their Tesla iPad. Yes. And it has to have a third row. Air-conditioned seats, although she'd settle for air-conditioned seats. She'd prefer cloth seats.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
She's a woman of taste.
She is. I should have let her pick all along. Who wants a Mercedes wagon when you could have a Toyota 4Runner? That's on her list. She wants a third row to help with kids carpooling to school, even though we don't currently carpool with anyone.
I would like to know if we producer Ethan lost it.
We have 9 cars on our insurance policy. 2 of them are hers. Well, 1 currently. I have just decided I'm going to mail it in. If she wants a friggin' Ford Explorer, like it is a refrigerator. It is an appliance. She can buy whatever the flip she wants. I am maturing. This is her car.
You know, these are so many good lessons that I'm learning right now from Doug that I just don't need to bother with, because I so badly would like my significant other to be in a cool car. And I think she's going to end up in something that is pretty cool, but it's going to like, it's not going to be an enthusiast car, which is fine. Doesn't have to be. It
she's
going to
gonna love it.
Yeah. And that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see, Doug, if we took her requirements and like tried to fit what we as car guys would buy.
See, the problem is, and we'll do that in a future episode. The problem is, as a car guy, if you fail at buying a car for your spouse, you risk them losing respect.
Oh, can it? Mm.
Let's think about that. Seriously, though, that's a big problem. Like, I do this for a living. Well, you suck at it. You couldn't even get my car right. Am I more important to you than your clients? Yes. Well,
That's a good point. Right? Right there.
It's a dangerous line you're playing. It's like buying her jewelry or something. You let her pick it out. Well, and just write the check.
Well, and we've talked, like, my girlfriend at first didn't even like that I was a car guy. She specifically avoided me because I was a car guy. I can't give her a reason. She's finally warmed up to it.
Yeah. Yep. So she doesn't like any of my cars, pretty much all of them. And I'm totally fine with that because I'm like, well, they're my cars. So I don't have to like her car. And I'm okay with that.
That's fair.
So there we go. Don't buy your wife a car. And if you do, it doesn't matter where it comes from or how many owners or if it's previous CPO or anything like that. None of that matters. They could still be a lemon. Cause
meaningless.
That's what I've been through. So there you go.
So what was the one car that worked? You said you were 1 for 3, right?
The other Mercedes E350, the convertible.
Nice.
It's been great.
Yep. Perfect.
No problems. That brings us to our props and flops of the week.
And as always, the props and flops are brought to you by Switch Cars. Switch Cars is the enthusiast dealership where we buy, sell, and consign only cars that we'd like ourselves. Check out our handpicked inventory at switchcars.com and mention SwitchCast for special pricing. Find more information at switchcars.com or come visit our showroom in beautiful Twinsburg, Ohio.
Our pick of the week from Switch Cars is a 2019 Porsche 911 GT3 RS with the desirable Vlasak package.
Ooh, is this the one with like all the green bits?
Yes, the green bits in the interior. Yes, very, very nice. It doesn't have the full Vlasak package, though. It doesn't have the Vlasak wheels. It has the base wheels because in 2018-19, those Vlasak wheels were on constraint. So you would get the Vlasak package with the base wheels. For most of them. So that's what this one has. But it's very aggressively priced at $240,000. It does not have 240,000 miles.
I might be able to afford it if it does.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Could be on its third engine at that mileage. We're not saying anything about Porsche's quality as of late. Just making a joke. Okay. So, prop of the week. Mazda. We're talking about shopping for wife's cars. Mazda is on the radar. I never thought it would be, but the Mazda CX-5, right, in the world of inflationary pricing and manufacturers raising their MSRPs far too late, kind of reactionary, Mazda has revealed specs and pricing for the 2025 CX-5 crossover, and it revives the 2.5S base model as a cheaper trim. They are lowering the base price of their entry-level crossover. You can get a CX-5 for under $30,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And all accounts, Mazdas are like really good cars.
Oh, yeah. They would, if I needed an appliance that I enjoyed and was attractive and like whatever else, like a Mazda would be on the list. 100%.
Yes. And they don't have a CVT and you can get them with cloth seats.
Oh, I love cloth seats.
Look at that. And Mazda is one of the few manufacturers that is still making manual transmission cars. So you can get a car. Just a car.
Is that too much? It seems like that's almost too much to ask for in today's modern world. It's like, I just want a car.
It's like going to Dunkin' Donuts and saying, I would like a coffee.
Oh, yeah, it's impossible.
They don't know what that means anymore.
If you don't speak their language on how to order a coffee,
right.
Screw it.
Right. The flop of the week comes to us from Frank Comar at King's Auto Service. This was a great one. He had a Volkswagen Beetle in for service, one of the newer ones, not a 60s one. The customer complained about an odd smell coming out of the car, and it turns out that mice had made nests in the resonator and the muffler, filling it with bird seed.
Oh.
Yes. So when they started the car up, apparently she never noticed this because she never applied full throttle. But when they put the foot to the floor, the bird seed shot out of the exhaust.
That is amazing.
Yes. And allegedly they filled like a couple 5-gallon pails full of this stuff. There was so much in the exhaust system, which
must be some massive mufflers.
I don't know. It's that's a lot of back pressure. engine was probably not making much power.
Well, it makes me wonder in a vehicle like that, how she's not needing to apply full throttle. They can't be that fast. So like just easing it into everything. Otherwise you got like a, you know, go gadget bird seed or something when you smash on the throttle.
You haven't been stuck behind these people on 2-lane roads on the way to work recently, have you?
I guess not. I forget what it's like.
They exist. Thank you for joining us for Switchcast with Doug Tabbitt and Tyler Sanders, produced by Ethan Huffnagel. Switchcast is an automotive entertainment and opinion show, and nothing we say should be taken very seriously. We do not give tax, investment, legal, emotional, or professional advice, and the only licenses we hold are driver's licenses. The opinions expressed on this show are exclusively held by the people pontificating at that moment and do not reflect the values of our producers or sponsors. Our theme music is provided by Emily and Ivory. You can stream their full album on Spotify or SoundCloud. If you like this show, you can stream it in its entirety on your favorite audio podcast platform. Check out switchcast.live for more info.